All right, so it's great to see everyone this afternoon, this noontime afternoon, for the Daily Power Parsha. So I am your host, Rabbi Ari, and it's great to Daily Parsha with you. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about because we're starting not only is this the first session of the week, this is also the first, the opening Torah portion of the entire book of Leviticus. And of course, as any good rabbi would say, if you thought Genesis was great, if you thought Exodus was great, just wait to the third installment of our series. Just wait to Leviticus, it'll blow you away. So the book of Leviticus is also known as Torat Kohanim, which means the book of the priests or the laws of the priests. And the reason is because much of the book of Leviticus talks about what the priests would do in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. Remember, we just read in the last Torah portions over the last several weeks, we were learning about the construction of the Mishkan, the construction of the tabernacle. Well, now that you got the place built, you have to get it up and running. And so who ran the day-to-day operation in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, in this first portable sanctuary, this home for God, so to speak? Who ran the show? It was the priest, the Kohanim, the Katzes. And you know Katz, right? You know the last name Katz?
Yes.
Do you know what the last name Katz stands for?
No.
Kohen Tzedek. That's where the name Katz comes from. It's an acronym in Hebrew. Katz is Chaf Tzedek, and it stands for Kohen Tzedek, which means righteous priest. So the last name Katz is typically is a very typical last name that is used by Kohanim. So this book, the book of Leviticus in general, is really focused on the notion of karbanot, of sacrifices and of offerings. And here we have the first lesson, and that is, if you really want a relationship, it's not about what you're getting, it's about what you're giving. What are you ready to give up to be in this relationship? When it comes to human relationships, a relationship requires time, it requires space, it requires energy, and it requires a giving up of self in general. It's a decision that one makes to, generally speaking, be ready to give of oneself for the other. And so the first message that we have in the book of Leviticus as we begin is the notion of sacrifice. I would say that today, but in general, in modern times, sacrifice is a dirty word. We look at sacrifice as not a good thing. Like, why should I sacrifice? We should have good things. Like, why? Like, I don't want to sacrifice. Who likes to sacrifice? And yet, the Torah teaches us that if you really want a genuine relationship with God or with another, it requires a little bit of sacrifice. Right, a little bit of sacrifice never killed anybody. Now, the animals, that's a different thing. But a little bit of sacrifice never hurt. It can only help. Now, that's the first insight. I want to take you for a moment to my shared screen, and I want to share with you some of the text of the opening of this book, this third book of the five books of Moses. Book number 3. So let's do this right here. Share. And you should be able to now see. Do you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Leviticus 1:1. It doesn't get more like original Leviticus than this right here. So the first word of the book of Leviticus in the Hebrew, I'm going to highlight the Hebrew right there. So the first word on the Hebrew side is Vayikra, which means and he called. Who's the he? Well, it's referring to God, although God is not gender specific or gender, I don't know what the right word is. God is not a gender. God is certainly beyond body, beyond gender. Nonetheless, the typical way that we refer to God, just based on Hebrew grammar, is with the he pronoun. Anyway, but the point is that God calls to Moses, and God speaks to Moses regarding all of the commandments regarding the offerings. In the original Torah script, in other words, if you had a Torah scroll, like an actual scroll in front of you, not a web page, that scrolls, but an actual scroll in front of you. Thank you, Sandy. So you would see that the Aleph of Vayikra, and I'm going to highlight it here, the Aleph of Vayikra, which is the last letter of the Hebrew word, is written smaller than the other letters. Typically, the Torah is written in the same font size. When it comes to very, very specific letters, either you have a big letter or a small letter. And here the Aleph is small, and all of the commentaries point that out, and all of the commentaries wonder, what's the meaning of the small Aleph? Why is it that traditionally, in a Torah scroll, the scribe will take his quill and make a little itty-bitty Aleph as opposed to the regular size Aleph? And the typical answer that's given is, this is a statement about Moses. Why does God call Moses? Why is Moses the great leader? It's because he always considered himself to be small. He was humble. He had humility. Now, to really understand the meaning of this, we have to juxtapose the small Aleph in our Torah portion, which references Moses. We have to contrast the small Aleph with a large Aleph. Because as I mentioned before, there are some letters throughout Scripture that are written smaller, very few that are written smaller, and also very few that are written larger. There is a large Aleph. Here's a small Aleph, there's a large Aleph, where the first word of the book of Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim, the book of Chronicles, which is one of the books, one of the 24 holy books of Jewish Scripture. So the book of Chronicles opens up with the word Adam. Adam, man, the first person, the first human being. And the Aleph of Adam is large. So the mystics, the commentaries point out, and they say, look at this contrast and look at the lessons that it contains. Adam looked at himself as the greatest. And what happened? He fell into sin. He looked at himself as the first human being, as the one created by God's own hand, the one who was entrusted with the whole world, and he felt proud. He felt some measure of hubris, and because of that, that led to his downfall, that led to the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that he was not supposed to eat from. And so here we have a powerful message and a powerful contrast, or like I would say, a tale of two Alephs, the large Aleph and the small Aleph. The large Aleph, it's all about self-perception. How do I look at myself? The large Aleph is Adam's perception. And Adam looks at himself as the greatest. And because of that, he's susceptible to falling into sin. Moses looks at himself as humble, a small Aleph, and therefore he is the great leader that we know and love. And I need to tell you one more thing. The Rebbe explained many times that true humility is not the same as self-deprecation. It's not humiliation. It's not self-delusion. It's none of that. True humility doesn't mean that you consider yourself a shmata. You know what a shmata is? Yeah, like a rag, like nothing, like garnished. That's not what humility is, because that's dishonesty. Because we all have our values, we all have our qualities. So for a person to ignore the good and to say, I'm terrible, I'm no good, I'm bad, I'm unworthy, that's not humility, that's dishonesty, and that's something totally different. Moses wasn't a liar to himself. Moses was humble. What does humble mean? Humble means that you know your qualities and you know your greatness, but it doesn't get to your head. Why? Because you recognize that it's all a gift from God. Humility is not the lack of awareness of self, but the full awareness of self. I know who I am. I know my qualities. I also know my shortcomings, but I know my qualities. I know my virtues. Moses knew that he was chosen by God. So how could he be humble? Moses knew that he led the Jews out of Egypt. How could he be humble? Moses knew that he raised his staff and split the Red Sea. How could he be humble? Moses knew he went up in the mountain and got the Ten Commandments for the Jewish people, got the tablets. How could he be humble? The answer is because he truly, this is true, he truly and honestly believed, it wasn't a fake, it was truth. He believed that all of his greatness was because of the blessings that God had given him. And he also believed, furthermore, that had God given the same gifts and the same opportunities to another human being, they would be the same, maybe even better. In other words, maybe they would have utilized the gifts, the opportunities, in an even greater degree, even greater measure than Moses himself. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that we are called upon to be humble. But remember, humble is not the same as thinking that you're nothing. A good definition of humility and being humble, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself a little bit less. So it's not that I'm no good. It's not about me right now. So that's an insight into the opening. The opening
word. Is this the only place where the little, I'm having a hard time actually seeing it as a little.
No. You're not going to see it here. I'm sorry. I should have clarified. On this online version, the font that they use, they didn't make it a different font size. I can try to open up a, Vayikra Hebrew. Let's see if this comes out.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get a an image here.
Here we go.
Right here. Boom. It's coming up on the screen. Do you see it? How do we make it bigger?
Oops. Better.
Okay. Can you see it there?
Yeah, I can see. All right.
So the first word, top right, there's a little aleph at the end.
Aleph.
Okay. It's a baby aleph.
Is it only here that it's a small aleph? Or
correct.
Nowhere else?
Correct. Well, no, I mean, there are very, very select times throughout Scripture where you have a smaller letter. Here is one example. And the message here is that it is, it's a commentary on Moses. By the way, if you eliminate the aleph, in other words, because it's so small, you might miss it, right? If you eliminate the aleph, the word becomes vayikar. Instead of vayikra, which means and he called, the word becomes vayikar, which means and he happened upon. Do you know who the Torah uses this phrase regarding? And he happened upon him and God happened upon this person? Regarding the evil prophet Balaam. It says again and again and again, vayikar. And God didn't call Balaam the evil prophet, but God happens upon him and happens to give him some measure of prophecy. In other words, there is it's also telling us the line between good and evil sometimes is very thin. The difference between vayikar and he happened upon, just happened to be, right? Or vayikra with an aleph, which is intentional. The idea of living an unintentional life or an intentional life is maybe a small letter, but a very significant distinction. Okay, so all this is insights into the first line. Into the first word, actually, of this book. I want to share a few more ideas before we close out. So this will be another 2 minutes. The next idea that I want to share is that there are different animals that the Torah talks about for the sacrifices. You can bring a, here we go, the second verse number two. If you look in the English, so it could be from animals, from cattle, from flock, different types of animals, different species of animals. And the mystics tell us that this, every mitzvah has both a physical incarnation, but also a spiritual incarnation, i.e. a spiritual meaning and a timeless meaning. Because today we don't have a temple, we don't offer the sacrifices in the conventional sense. What does it mean to offer sacrifice? It means to elevate and to bring of ourselves. Like I mentioned before, relationships require sacrifice. On another level, what this means is to sublimate our own animal, our own inner animal. Some of us have an animal soul, an animal desire that's like a bull, raging and, you know, very, very passionate. Some it's more like a sheep. Some it's more like a goat. You know, what these mean are discussed in detail in Kabbalah, the distinction between the different animals. But the point is, it's always important that, as the Torah says, from all of these things, and I'm going to highlight the words here, you shall bring your sacrifice. It's very easy to look at the flaws of someone else and to bring their sacrifice and to tell ourselves, well, they should be able to overcome that temptation or to not make that mistake or to make that proper decision. And we begin to judge them and we put ourselves in their shoes and we wonder, how could they have ever made that mistake? The purpose of life is not to fix someone else's stuff. It's not to bring someone else's animal as a sacrifice, but it's to work on our own animal, our own inner animal, and to bring that as a sacrifice to God. In other words, work on that, work on refining our own inner character, not on someone else's. Sure, you can help someone else if they ask and if they need help. We're meant to be there for others, without a doubt. But that we should discard or disregard our own divine service and completely focus on what somebody else should or shouldn't be doing, that's a distraction. And frankly, that's bringing someone else's animal. And the Torah says, bring your animal as a sacrifice. Your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, your animal soul that knows how to push your buttons and your vices, that's what you and I need to work on, our own stuff, not someone else's stuff. The final thing I want to point out is the opening verse of the second reading, which is, as I mentioned last week, for those that were joining us, so every Torah portion is divided into seven readings, and the custom is to study one reading per day. So today would be, Monday would be the second reading, so the first verse of the second reading talks about, sorry, not the first verse, the first verse of chapter 2 of Leviticus talks about a person who brings a meal offering to God. A meal offering is basically an offering of flour. He doesn't have money. This is talking about somebody who's impoverished. He can't afford an animal. He can't afford a bird. All he can bring is some flour. And the Torah says, and that's good enough. And not only that, in the Hebrew, it doesn't call this person a person, an Adam, like it says before regarding the other sacrifices. It calls this person nefesh. I'm highlighting it in the Hebrew. The word here is v'nefesh, and a soul. So the commentaries point out, why is the word nefesh, soul, used in reference to a person who brings the simplest offering? And our sages tell us, and the answer is a beautiful answer, and this is the final message I want to share with you today. The message is that God doesn't look at the quantity of what we give, of how much we give, but rather the quality of how we give it. You can have a very wealthy person who brings a very fancy offering, animals and gold and so, whatever they give. They can give the most elaborate gift monetarily. And yet, if it's not done with sincerity, it's considered to be inferior to the poor person who gives a simple meal offering. And so here's the final message. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's not about how much we give, but how deeply we give and how sincere we are about what we give when it comes to giving to Hashem, when it comes to giving to God and giving to others. So let this always be something that we remember. The Torah only used the word v'nefesh and a soul in reference to the simple gift, because sometimes simple is even more precious. And simple is even more dear than something more elaborate. Thank you very much for joining me today for the Daily Power Parsha. It's great to see you all. It's great to study together. I need to tell you tonight, join me 8 p.m. for our brand new series, Maimer Mondays. This is going to be a look at a Hasidic discourse all about the holiday of Passover. You're going to love this. It's an hour class, 8 to 9 p.m., join me, be there, or be square, and you definitely don't want to be square at a time like this. So join me for Maimer Mondays tonight, 8 p.m. Look for the link on our website, intownjewishacademy.org/live. That has all the links to all the classes and all the programming, and we are going to keep on adding as the days go on. We'll be adding more surprises, more events, more pop-up events, so please stay tuned to Facebook and all of the applicable channels that you can find out information on. All right, let me quickly take a look at the chat box. Perfect. All right, wonderful. Have a great day. Hope to see you soon. Tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. Take care.